What is up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Guarani Vision, the first ever podcast dedicated to Paraguayan football in English. As always, I'm Roberto Rojas, and joining me are my two great co-hosts, Federico Perez and Ralph Hanna. And guys, here we are, another week of Guarani Vision, another, I'd say, a quiet week, you would say, but still a lot to discuss. Obviously, we'll talk about what's been going on with our teams in the Paraguayan League as they focus on not just trying to go and win the Apertura, but how that helps them in the Copa Libertadores and the Sudamericana. We'll also talk about what's been going on the national team, because we have a bit of an outlook of what's been going on with some players, some names that could even be made to final squads for some tournaments. We'll talk about that in a bit. And also this kind of debate about where the Sudamericana final will be this year, because obviously the final will be in Asunción, but we don't know where it is yet. CONMEBOL has decided that they're going for four stadiums. Which four stadiums? We'll talk about that in a second. But first, let's go to Ralph here all the way in Texas, because obviously here we are chatting on, obviously the Paraguay national team is always talking here, and we'll talk about what's been going on with the women's side, and particularly the U-20 team, as they are currently competing in the Sudamericana Femenina for the U-20 side to qualify for the World Cup, the U-20 Women's World Cup in Colombia. And currently, at the time of recording, they are unbeaten. They are top of their group with 3 wins apiece. They beat Ecuador, they beat Uruguay, they beat Peru, they play Argentina today, and they're in a good spot to qualify for the World Cup, because obviously out of the final stage, it is going to be the top four that qualify, but even the top five, that because obviously it's Colombia's host, and if they finish in the top four, having already qualified for the qualified for the World Cup as host, that means the fifth place team could qualify. So you already got a majority of that final stage of the 5-6 teams. And the way that Paraguay has been playing, I mean, surely, obviously, we're not going to count our chickens as of yet and get ahead of ourselves. But Paraguay are in a really good spot to qualify for the World Cup. Sorry, the tournament's in Ecuador that's going on in the U-20 side, but the actual World Cup is in Colombia. But still, we're in a good spot to qualify for the Women's World Cup this year, Ralph.
Yeah, that's right. Hi, Roberto. Hi, Fede. Everybody watching. I'm fighting through a cough and cold to be with you guys today. That's the dedication we have to Guarani Vision.
Love it.
It is going very well, but we were in this same position on this podcast very recently with the under-17s, right? If we remember, the under-17s did really well in that first stage, and then they didn't make it to the World Cup, finding it much harder in the second stage. What we saw there, I think, was a team that really were on the physical side of the back-to-back games. They kind of ran out of energy and ran out of a bit of steam. And we talked a bit about the coach at the time, that she was maybe not rotating players or using players correctly. The difference we have with the under-20s at the moment, I think, is the coach, Fabio Fukumoto, who's only been there for like a year. He's from Brazil. He's the assistant to Carlos Bona, the main coach. He's been quite interesting, because in this last game against Peru, he didn't play Paraguay star player Fatima Acosta. She's been the top scorer. She's the playmaker. She plays in Sao Paulo. She actually had to come off the bench to help Paraguay to the win. But it was interesting how he rotated a bit. And I'm sure we're going to see tonight, as we record, tonight they play Argentina. I think, again, we'll see that mixed team. And he's really going to try and manage the minutes much better than what we've seen. So hopefully in that final stage, they don't fall apart and they can make it to the World Cup, which will be a huge achievement, I think. I think we're starting to really see some changes with Paraguay in the women's game. We saw the good performance in the Gold Cup from the senior side. The under-17s were very close. And actually, most of that under-17s team has just been in Turkey, and they've gone and drawn with the US at the under-16s level. But a lot of those players, those U-16, like a lot of them came from that tournament. And so that's an amazing result if you think about the strength of US football. So we're starting to see some positive changes, and yeah, let's see what this final stage brings, and hopefully we'll be able to celebrate, not like with the U-17s.
Well, Fede, I mean, you've been covering this tournament as well. You've been seeing what's been going on. The difference in that one in comparison to the U-17 is that you had four. It was a final stage of four teams rather than now a final stage of six. So the margin of error is indeed bigger, you'd say. For Paraguay to not make it when you have potentially four or five teams making it. Paraguay really need to screw up in the final round to not make it. But yeah, it would be good for them. The last time that they made it to a U-20 World Cup was back in 2018 in the France tournament. I think that was even the tournament where you had Jessica Martinez as well, Alicia Tamoro, you know, many players who are currently in this setup currently on the senior Paraguay women's side. So qualification for this would also help build the side moving forward for obviously other tournament that's going to happen, the obviously the Women's World Cup, the actual one, the Copa America, and all that, because that's something that they want to achieve, not just qualify for U20s or U17s or whatever. They want to actually go for the senior one, which I kind of obviously they missed the last time around in Australia and New Zealand, and hopefully they can make it this time in 2027.
Yeah, those are all different goals, but as of this under 20, they're trying to get back to that World Cup, right? They failed on these last two Sudamericanos. It was a bargain. That's why there's been so many changes, looking for a new head coach, looking for a new staff that could work with all these girls, with all these different generation of good players that you're having that are coming about, and they're doing actually a good job. I do like, just like Ralph was mentioning, Fukimoto's job, the way he's handling the team. You have to give the right minutes to each player. You have to know when to play them in certain matches also. And I do think he's doing a really good job in that sense. You have to lead the girls when you're a head coach of all girls under 20 years. And some of them really look really well. Some still play in the local league. Others, just like Rob was mentioning, like Fatima, they are playing abroad already, and that speaks very well of our players, right? This is something that we've mentioned over the years as we've done this podcast, Guarani Vision, the growth of the women's football in our country and all the good players that are coming. I'm really excited about this situation just because I look at Luz Cardoso, and I saw her as a forward when she was starting in Olympia, when she was probably, I don't know, 15, 16 years old when she was just starting out, and you're seeing her now in the under 20, and she looks like a player that can make it to that senior national team. And you're seeing players like Fatima, like we mentioned, a very exciting player that could link up maybe with Jessica Martinez one day. I love that in women's football they're doing a really good job, and that's why we're always talking about them here in Guarani Vision. It was a chill week, I would say, Roberto, in the sense that we didn't have, in going back to men's football, we didn't have Libertadores, we didn't have Sudamericana, that hadn't happened in a couple of weeks. So it was a chill week in that sense. And it was chill because the weather changed. The temperature also changed here in Paraguay. We had really bad weather for a couple of weeks. Even the matches, even the games had trouble with the rain. Hopefully this weekend, as we're recording, we don't have that problem, and the games can be played. We're looking forward into what can happen into our local league. We haven't done an update in a while. Obviously, a lot of people were kind of distracted with the Champions League this week, I would even say. You know, a lot of big fans here also of the European football, they were entertained with that. But as of Libertad Nacional, they had a match that they had to play, and that was an interesting one, just to see Nacional put up a fight against the best team of the league and even getting a tie at home. So it was actually a good result, even though it was Libertad that had to get that late goal from Roque Santa Cruz. We definitely got to talk about their situation, as I believe they're heading to play against River this week. We got big games also in Libertadores, important matches in Sudamericana. Maybe teams can already say bye-bye in Sudamericana this week, Roberto. We got plenty of tough stuff to talk about in a brand new episode of Guarani Vision.
Absolutely. And obviously, we'll go into that in just a second. But let's talk about what's been going on with the national team, because obviously, we are coming, as you said, thick and fast towards the end of the European season. A lot of seasons are going to be obviously stopped as well around the world because of the international competitions, the European Championships, and the Copa America. Paraguay will be participating in it, as always. And they got a couple of friendlies coming up in, yeah, literally a month or so. They're going to start getting ready for that. But we did see some comments the other day from Julio Enciso. Julio Enciso obviously has come even back from injury. Unfortunately, did not play last weekend against Burnley. And yeah, I mean, obviously, he had spoken about how he's still dealing with some injury stuff. I mean, he says that he's not obviously completely sidelined, but that he's still finding it difficult to get some minutes playing there. It's getting a bit odd, especially when Decherby is saying one thing, his coach at Brighton, and he's saying another. I mean, I'd imagine there is no beef on that, but it is starting to get a bit concerning about how the playing minutes for him is starting to not get to him, I guess you would say. And that kind of is a bit of an issue because of course he is the most talented, I'd say, the most raw athlete that Paraguay has at the minute in terms of the national team. And obviously, we want him to play in the Copa America, and he's even stated that. He hasn't been told what's going to happen in the Olympics. I mean, I don't think Brighton will give the chance. But yeah, I mean, Ralph, I'll go to you on this one first. I just want your thoughts on, like, kind of the comments that Enciso had been saying. And, you know, if you are indeed concerned about what his fitness might come, you know, right towards the start of the Copa America for these friendlies, and then obviously for the Copa America, what he can bring to the table.
Yeah, I think it's been, I think the worry is that it's been dragging on, and we're not really sure, like you said, with these conflicting comments of exactly what's going on. They're talking about, like, there's still some fluid in, I think, in the knee that they're trying to make sure goes down before he plays. He's training, you can see from Instagram, for example, he is training, but he's not in the match squad. He's obviously frustrated, because I think that's why he went and gave those comments to Paraguayan radio, because he felt like, I guess he felt frustrated about what he's hearing from Paraguay and from people saying that he's not, I don't know, maybe he's not taking it seriously, maybe he's not fit enough. And so he responded to that. And it's clearly like it's just a difficult moment, because if we flash back a year, right, a year ago is when he was really starting to get that run into the team, the end of the season, and he was putting in those amazing performances, like the goal against Chelsea and Man City. That all comes more or less around this time last year. So I think it's just worrying that we don't know exactly what the issue is, and he's obviously not getting the minutes. So that means when he hits the Copa America, there's going to be this kind of, what's the word, like X factor, right? That we're not really sure how he's going to come into the tournament. Knowing him and knowing what a good player he is, I think if he is fully fit for the Copa America, we've got no problem. I don't think, he's not a player that needs minutes in a way. I mean, he's so talented, he's so skillful, he can hit the ground running. But the question really is, like, is he fully fit or not? And nobody's really sure.
Yeah, I'm still worrying about that big injury, about that big surgery he actually had, guys. I mean, has he actually recovered? Has his recovery been 100%? Because I haven't seen that Julio Enciso back yet. And you know, he was a young player. When he got injured, he's still young. But when you go through that as a young player, a big injury like that, you need to evolve as a player. And it has to do a lot with how you come back. And he came back pretty much at the end of the season. He couldn't even come mid-season, which was something that was already worrying me at the beginning of this year, because, you know, time lapse, we're talking about that he was going to come back by December at the latest. He was going to come back in January, then it was February, and it just went on and on. And now we're talking here pretty much coming into April about him not being able to play constantly for his team. So I'm still worrying about that big surgery that he had and what's going to happen with him going forward. I mean, how much is this going to affect his career, even his time in Brighton? I mean, what are they thinking about him for next season if he barely played this season? He needs to end up playing these big games. I do think they play Manchester City in just a couple of weeks, and that's going to be a huge game for him. Hopefully he's looking into that match and to make an impact again. And maybe win his spot for next season, I would even say, because, you know, they gave him that number 10 jersey this year. They really relied on him. And I don't think he's delivered so far. There was even certain stuff about his personal life that has been criticized also. And he knows he's got all that on top of him. And he needs to live with that. Just like Roberto said, he's our big star right now playing in Europe, and everybody's following him. Everybody wants to know how he's doing. Everybody wants to see him and his best version, but that's not him right now. And I don't know, going into the Copa America, I would even doubt that he has a starting spot in the national team if he's not fit, if he's not 100%, if he comes into the national team not playing. We need the best players out there right now. And I would even go up against Roberto in the sense that he's our best player out there right now. I would say it's Ramon Sosa. I mean, that's the player that I want to see in the attacking with the Águila Roja in the Copa America. The other players, they need to fight for their role. I would even say Almirón needs to fight for a role also, because, you know, he hasn't done that well this season either. And I don't know what's going to happen with his situation also going forward, just mixing it up with other Premier League players that we have. out there and that probably didn't have the best season, Roberto.
Yeah, I mean, there's also other names out there. You know, Diego Gomez is obviously doing very well at Inter Miami. You know, we saw him score and assist Luis Suarez in that game against Sporting KC. He was 70,000 at Arrowhead Stadium. Obviously, a big turnout, and he was able to stand out as one of the best players, if not the best player, outshining Messi, which we can't say a lot about these days about any player in the way that any team that has Messi on it. To have someone outshine him and have a better performance is something to have that. But you also have, you know, Ralph, I know we'd always talk about Kaku Romero. He's someone that's actually on really good form in the UAE playing right now. He's another name that could be in the mix for Dani Garnero's starting 11, because that's the big concern, of course, is not only who we bring, but also who's going to start, how are we going to work out? And also moving forward as well, you know, there are some names, and we'll talk about that. We were talking about this before we started, about how you, Fede, had heard some rumors about some potential names that could make it to the Olympic team, because obviously the expectation was given towards Diego Gomez as the captain and the star player for the U23 side, but it looks like he won't be playing it. That's kind of the ultimatum that was given towards him, is that he has to play the Copa America or the Olympics. It looks like he's going to go for the former rather than the latter. But that doesn't mean that Jara Salier is giving up. He's looking at some names, and he's looking at some big names that have been crucial to the Paraguayan national team. Some even potential starters that could even play in both competitions. And I think there's some interesting names for that, if you wanted to mention what you've been hearing so far.
Oh, I was watching it, guys. I was watching that ceremony this week as they were lighting that torch up in Greece. And I was coming into tears just thinking about our guys playing in Paris, just imagining what's going to happen in just a couple of months. I mean, we're not going to have that many athletes. That's our reality as a Paraguay. We're not going to have that many athletes in the Olympics. So we got to look into football. We have to really root for these guys. And I'm really looking forward to what they can do, especially because we're champions of South America. I mean, come on, we got to do something in the Olympics with these guys, and with Carlos Sarguer, our coach, that he has to pick up a couple of new players for the squad. He has a couple of players out. We talked about Diego Gomez's situation. He's not going to be on the squad. We need a good midfielder. We definitely need something else, and you can take a couple of players that can go over 23. So apparently, as of right now, it's just a rumor. I don't have confirmation on this. I got to be honest with you guys. We'll see if in the next couple of weeks this does get confirmed. But we do have a couple of names been thrown out there. He's doing really well. I thought he would already be playing in Europe. I think I said it at the end of the year last year. Matias Di Santi is killing it at Gremio. He's playing constantly. He's probably the best midfielder. He played with Luis Suarez last year. He plays with really good players. He's always making the difference. He's always scoring. He's playing constantly in the senior, also national team. He won his spot over, and it looks like he's a name that Carlos Jara Salier would take to the Olympics. And the other name is Adam Barreiro, and this is actually a name that I'm really happy, because we had his brother, we had Freddie, come on our show. Ralph always remembers that good interview that we had with him, and it's nice to see that the family keeps on going, you know, keeps on doing it. I mean, Freddie, back in the days, getting that silverware, and now the chance for Adam, that's really doing well in San Lorenzo. He's probably the captain of the team, the leader in the locker room. He had chances to go back to Europe, and the Argentinians did everything they could to hold him back because they didn't want to let him go, and he just keeps on killing it. And so, and he looks like a player that could really fit in, Ralph. I mean, he fits the style, and he looks more and more like his brother nowadays.
Yeah. I think these two names are very interesting, because like you say, they sort of fit the style we saw of Jara Salier, that he's happy not to have the ball. He wants players that are able to run, able to battle. Villa Santi, for me, he's been one of the best ball winners that Paraguay has in midfield. So in terms of having somebody like him and maybe alongside Peralta, that could be a really nice combination. And then Adam Barreiro as well. He's such a tireless player. He doesn't stop running. He's always fighting for the ball up front. He's going to try and hold it up. I think it would be a really good selection. And like you said, Freddie, his brother, played 20 years ago, won that silver medal. And we've had him on the show if people want to look back for that interview. And of course, Jara Salier was the manager 20 years ago. So that relationship continues. So I mean, of those two names being thrown out, like Fede says, it's not confirmed, but I like those two names, and I think that could be a really, really good fit with the squad.
It is indeed a fit. I think it will be an interesting way to look at it because obviously there are less names. It's not your typical 23-man or 26-man squad. It's 18 names. And I think certainly you're going to have to cut some players off that won you that U23 tournament, Fede. And yeah, I think it's going to be interesting if we go into some two players, which I think are very good and versatile in the way that they play. Barreiro knows what it's like to score. He hasn't demonstrated that on the national team, but he definitely knows what he does at San Lorenzo. And yeah, I mean that means there's one name missing. One name missing if that is indeed the rumors.
I want to throw one out there, guys, because I don't know if you guys are following his career. I don't know if you guys are following what he's doing, but people are going crazy in Ecuador over a Paraguayan, a certain Paraguayan that's scoring and scoring, breaking nets and nets all over Ecuador. I'm talking about Alex Arce. I mean, this guy was doing it in Argentina not so long ago. Yeah, it was second division and everybody was doubting about it. Everybody was saying, no, it's just second division. It's Argentina. No, no, no. Get him out of there. Let's see him in a real team. He's playing for a huge team in Ecuador, like Liga de Quito, and his numbers are crazy. I think he already broke a record. I think he has 11 goals in just 10 games. I mean, talk about a serial killer. I mean, I haven't seen a player like this in a while, Roberto. I mean, we needed a striker, but I didn't want a serial killer like this one.
And that's the big question, I guess, now, because, you know, we'll finish off with Ralph. I mean, if he's scoring all these goals, and now, I mean, not only is this going to be something for the Olympics, but is Dani Garnedo going to really force his hand? I'm like, I mean, and he was called up to the squad that was supposed to play Russia, so we never got to see him given a chance. But if he continues on this form, I mean, yeah, we have to see what he's like in these friendlies, because I think that's ultimately the big step of like, okay, if this guy's doing it for Ecuador, and if he can do this for the national team, I think I found my striker.
Yeah, I think Alex Arce has to be in one of the squads, right? Because every test that has been put in his path, he's passing those tests. He actually was playing in Emiliano in Paraguay. So again, it was like a small club. And then when he went to second division in Argentina, he's like, oh, well, maybe it's not a big level. But wherever he goes, he scores goals. And like Fede saying, in Liga de Quito, it's a huge team. There's a lot of pressure. The pressure has only been increasing as he scores more goals and people expect more of him. And he just keeps doing it. So I think also it's important to take those players that are their form is like going up in this trajectory. Because we're talking about people like Julian Ciso that at the moment his form is not. He's not on form, but we know the quality he has. But you want to mix that with players that you're maybe not fully sure of their quality yet because they're a bit untested at international level. But you can see from their form that they're in a great moment. So I'd love to see him in either squad. Let's see where he ends up.
Well, looking at what they have to do, obviously they're in the Libertadores. They actually play Junior this week as well. They're in a group with Botafogo and Universitario. And yeah, I think that's going to be interesting to see what they can do. If what he can do, if he continues that form in the Copa Libertadores, as we switch our gears to what's been going on in the league as well, because we did see Libertad, you know, we haven't done a league update in quite a while, but we did see Libertad drop points the other day at a 1-1 draw to Nacional. Which means that at the time of recording, Libertad are still top of the league with 29 points, but the gap is cut to 5 points. Cerro Porteño are ahead with 23, followed by Olimpia with 22, and Los de Mayo are still in this, Ralph. They're a team that were on a good start. They kind of fell off of form recently, but they're still in that race. But, I mean, the draw itself for Libertad, and they're still unbeaten, by the way. 13 games, they haven't lost a single one yet. 8 wins, 5 draws. So they're in a good pace right now to maybe go the entire season unbeaten. But I just don't know who's going to stop this Libertad side. I mean, is this something that you feel concerned about? Or do you feel as if, though, maybe there is a bit of a race to be going on in the upper Dura this year?
Yeah, I think that's maybe why we haven't done much of a league update, because there hasn't been much to say. It seems that Libertad, who won the treble last year, are continuing on this run of form, and they seem to be unbeatable. As you mentioned, they're unbeaten. The fact that they are drawing a lot of games has just left the door open, possibly for someone like Cerro Porteño, who have begun to do actually very well in the league since Manolo came in, at least in results. The way they're playing is still not convincing, but they keep winning. So that does mean that you will, of course, have Cerro against Libertad, I think, in 2 weeks, maybe more or less. So that game could end up being very interesting if Cerro were to win. Then you have to wait probably until the last game of the season when Libertad have to play Olimpia, and you might have that funny situation where Olimpia could help Cerro win the league. Let's see if we really get to that. But at the moment, I think what we're seeing is a very dominant Libertad side. Is it bad for the league? I don't know, because this time of the year is very strange because of the continental competition. So many people are focused on that. The group stages are so intense in terms of the travel and the games coming quickly. So a lot of teams aren't really focused too much on the local league. It's only really Libertad that have a big enough squad to manage both competitions. I think where it will become more interesting is in the Clausura, because usually in the Clausura, you see it's less likely that you'll have teams involved in the later stages of the Libertadores. And if you do, again, the kind of intensity and the frequency of the games isn't the same as the group stages. So then you get usually, I think, a better league race. So I'm not too concerned at the moment, but I do think it's not been a particularly exciting league race, because you mentioned Dos de Mayo, but if we're honest, Dos de Mayo, who started really well at home, they won their first three games at home. Now they've gone three games without a win. They're receiving Cerro this weekend or today, I think, as we record. Is the chance that they really can continue is more unlikely. It's like when Guaireña were doing well a few years ago. So it really is up to, I think, Cerro to see if they can win their remaining games and put some pressure on Libertad.
Yeah, I'm really let down by certain teams, right? At a certain point, just like it happened pretty much every year over these last couple of years, where you've seen Olimpia kind of weak, not having enough, where you see Cerro always doing something wrong in their planning, or just the team not getting it together. You've had certain teams that tried to give up a fight, like Dos de Mayo, who had the home advantage that they lost to Guarani just a couple of weeks ago, just not losing at home. They brought that from Intermedia. They lost that momentum. Now I want to see how they move forward, but that was a team that was probably the big surprise so far. And then you had Luqueño also giving up a fight, but they're on a bad streak now. And we talk so well about them. I'm shocked that Raf is not talking about his team that's doing bad right now. I thought he was going to talk about them. But I don't know what's going to happen seriously about Luqueño, because they're really going down on that table also. And so it's up to Cerro Porteño. They are the only team that's looking like themselves in a certain point, like they did at the beginning of the season, which is when they played their best football. And I like Manolo, the way he's managing the team, especially in certain games at the local league, in these local league matches. But moving forward, I think his big challenge is the Libertadores. But for the local league, I do think he has enough just to fight it, even with young players coming through. That's something that Olimpia does not have. And Olimpia is barely getting results. Palermo is barely staying alive. That's his situation with Olimpia. He's trying to get that. He's trying to get those wins, but it's really hard for the team that's not looking together. They've never looked strong. I believe this whole season they haven't looked like a championship team to me. For certain moments they look like they can give Libertad a fight, but just like Rafa was saying, it's gonna come down to that showdown. As of right now, Libertad has two games ahead. I think you said 5 points. It's five or six, I believe, Roberto, as of right now, after the tie they got against Nacional. And I think Libertad is just sitting on the couch waiting for something to happen. Nobody's moving them so far. And they got bigger challenges up ahead. They got River. They got the Libertadores. I think those are the things that are moving these players that Libertad has. Just they have such inner competition between them for the spots in the team, that I think that's the big thing for them. You know, you got Antonio Barreiro coming back, you got Lorenzo Melgarejo, he's always getting players that are trying to take his spot. You have Martin Silva getting injured, and you have a young, exciting goalkeeper now that took over, and nobody's remembering that Martin Silva, that has so many titles with Libertad, that he's totally out of this team. I mean, that's Libertad for you right now. They know how to get every solution for every problem that comes along, and they're just getting championships in championships. lately here in the Paraguayan football. I wouldn't be surprised, Roberto. If Libertad gets another one, you get your pick. They win another one. It just looks like it's going to happen as of right now.
It does. It doesn't help give all the other teams any sort of safety that they can give. They can do it again in the Clausura as well, or any confidence, because if they can do it in the Apertura, they can definitely do it again in the Clausura. But that is going to, we're going to have to wait and see what happens there, as we'll see what happens in the Copa Libertadores and the Sudamericana, because we got some Paraguayan teams that will be playing in big games. Obviously, we had mentioned last week the game against Fluminense for Cerro Porteño. Libertad will be taking on River Plate over there in the Copa Libertadores group stage, the only two teams that are participating in it. In the Sudamericana, obviously, we have some Paraguayan teams participating in it. Sportivo Chirinense will host Nacional Potosí of Bolivia. We also have Sportivo Abeliano traveling all the way to Caracas, to Venezuela, to take on Rayo Zuliano. We have Nacional taking on Racing over the Defensores del Chaco. And finally, we have Sportivo Luqueño traveling all the way to Braganza Paulista to take on Red Bull Bragantino. So big games for Paraguayan teams in this competition, Ralph. And certainly, I think for a lot of these teams, their competitions, their time in whatever, it goes down to what happens this week. It could decide qualification or eliminate, or at least chances to qualify or elimination.
Yeah. It's a lot of key. It's like a key moment, I think, in the group stage for everybody, really. The two Libertadores games are the big ones, because you have Libertad River Plate, you have Cerro Fluminense, but they're at home, so they have chances to do something there and to get some kind of results. We talked about, I think, Manolo and the way he's setting up Cerro. I find this is going to be a very interesting tactical battle against Fluminense, who haven't been as strong as we expected, right, going into this tournament. They've dropped some points in the group. Cerro might feel, hey, is this something we can actually get from this? I still think, from what we've seen so far from Manolo in the big games, is he's not going to go all out. We're not going to see like a Chiqui Arce when Cerro playing Palmeiras and they score five goals Palmeiras, because he's really pushing for it and going for it. I think it's going to be a much more tactical battle and maybe quite a close for game. And then for Libertad, as Fede has been saying, I mean, they just have so many players that they can rely on. Roque Santa Cruz is 42. He scores the last minute equalizer against Nacional. And when you watch him play, by the way, his quality, he still has so much quality. He's such a good player in terms of just holding up the ball and linking up players. He doesn't lose that, right? Because he doesn't need to run to do those kind of aspects of his game. But then behind that, you've got Melgarejo in very good form. You've got these young players. You've got like Sanabria, who did very well in the previous game for Libertad with a really good goal. So, I mean, there's a lot of quality in that Libertad side that I think could push maybe a River team that we've seen. I don't know. River's been a strange side. They've had a strange season, I think, for me in Argentina. There's been flashes of very good play, and then there's been those times where they've missed out, where they just haven't been good enough. So I think those two games are going to be really exciting.
Huge tickets, guys. Hot tickets here in Paraguay. Who wants them? Who wants them? Who wants to see River? Who wants to see one of our Paraguayan teams go up against the last champion of the Libertadores? I mean, talk about big games in Paraguay this week. I'm really looking forward to both of these games happening. We haven't had River here for a while. They actually faced Libertad several times, right? I think in Libertadores. To be honest with you guys, and I watch a lot of Argentine football, River has had its ups and downs, but I think that they're one of the, in the way that I see it, top three, top four teams to make it to the final this year, maybe again in the Libertadores. They look like a championship team. They look like a big team. They're playing that way. They just keep on getting titles. And they're coming in hot, I think. They qualified top four in their group in the league. So they're coming in strong to play this Libertad team. It hasn't looked in their best shape, I believe. I mean, I think Libertad's always having problems in defense. His goalkeeper is always standing out because he has tons of work to do. And yeah, you don't know what you're ever, you never know what you're going to get out of the old guys in the offense. That's the truth. Ralph mentioned that Roque Santa Cruz is 42 years old, and I got to call him that. I got to call him an old player. That's not normal. It's not normal to have players that are 42 years old, and props to Roque in that sense. I mean, to stay in form, to stay in shape, and be able to compete in the Libertadores, that just makes him a bigger legend. No disrespect in that sense. But it is what Libertad has as of right now. Roque and experienced Tacuara Cardoso. I think against Nacional, they were up against the ropes so much that Galeano threw the most offensive version I've seen so far out of this team. I mean, Aguilar was also out there. Ivan Barreiro, Antonio Barreiro, Ivan Franco, all of them were out there in the box trying to get the tie so they wouldn't lose their first game of the season. It was crazy to see that. At certain moments, he might do that. I don't think he's going to do that against River just because they're not up against the ropes yet in this group. I mean, they got to win. So, hey, maybe a tie is not a bad thing, right? At home, play against a huge team like River, maybe stay alive to try to fight for that first spot. Because if you lose against River, forget about that. River's taking that first spot, and you're going to fight for the second, for that second one, just like Cerro Porteño, if they don't get at least a tie against Fluminense. And I do think Cerro need to aim for a tie. I don't think they're going to go crazy over the result. They've had certain problems. Several problems to get scores, to get goals. I talked over and over about Turin. Finally, he scored last week in the local league. He got a banger from outside of the box. That was a really nice shot, but he needs to get hot in the Libertadores. They need him. They need Edu. They need their strikers, because I don't know what's going on with their strikers. They're never scoring. They're barely scoring this season. And I do like what Manolo has been doing lately, putting Iturbe and Cecilio Dominguez in the bench a bit, you know, just to cool them off and just to have them fresh for the big games that are coming. I do think that the staff has been working a lot better. They know the team better. They know the players. And maybe this is the big game that Cerro Porteño needs to go through, Roberto. They need a huge win like this one to feel that they can do something in this Libertadores.
It needs to instill confidence in them if they're able to get a win like this against Fluminense. And the same for Libertad against what they do against River Plate. I think if they're able to get the important wins, especially playing at home, that could really send a statement to them, to the rest of the group, and even to the continent as well, because that's a big deal when you beat two powerhouses in the same way. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. And also what will happen in the future is obviously the Sudamericana final, which will be happening this year in Asunción. We obviously have that confirmed last week. But we don't know where yet. We don't know where yet, Ralph. And I want to go on to this to close it out with you and Fede, but there are the rumors of four different venues at the minute. The Defensores del Chaco, the home of the Paraguay national team, the national stadium, the historic one. La Noya, obviously home to Cerro Porteño, and always been the big stadium that goes to these type of events. It hosted the 2019 final. Parauno, over there at Olympia's ground, which, you know, could indeed be renamed Osvaldo Dominguez Dib, which could have those kind of personal factors after his death, and with Dominguez as well. And the Libertad Stadium, La Huerta, over there in Tujuqua. Obviously, four different stadiums, four different places, and four different headaches, I'd say, when you have to look at it and where they're going to present a final to welcome all of South America, basically.
Yeah, it's interesting. So the four stadiums have been mentioned because this week CONMEBOL said they're going to give money to those, to like improve those four stadiums so they can almost like put themselves in the shop window to be chosen. Because right now, for example, Olympia Stadium and Libertad Stadium are not even at CONMEBOL level. Libertad have been playing there, but they're paying fines because their lighting system isn't up to standard. So I'm guessing one of the first things they'll do is just work on that. But like you say, it's four different problems. Just for people that don't know Asuncion, Libertad Stadium's in a very difficult area to get to. There's the old train track runs behind the stadium. It's disused, but there's nothing you can really build on that side. You can't really build out because they're backing onto a main road. Very similar with Olympia. They're on one of the best locations in Asunción. It's very close to like the US Embassy, the President's House. But because you're on that main road and actually you have like a military building, I think on the other corner, there's not much you can do either because, you know, you can't start taking over the the military, and you can't build too high because they need to be able to see. There's like security things. So again, there's not much they can do really in terms of expanding their stadiums. So then I think you end up looking at Defensores and La Olla, which are the two biggest stadiums, the two that are, as of right now, today, are in the best shape to receive the final. So even though I think CONMEBOL has opened this up maybe for in some kind of idea of fairness, I feel we're going to see something between Defensores and La Olla.
I love Alejandro Dominguez's way of just solving problems, right? I'm talking about CONMEBOL's presence, just throwing money at the teams, throwing money at the countries. You don't have stadiums? Well, here's the money to make the stadiums. Here's the money to fix your stadiums, because you don't have the stadiums that we need for the Sudamericano final. That's the reality. I mean, Cerro Porteño has a brand new stadium, but it's not finished. I mean, they don't have enough parking spaces for how many people go and watch their games. So it is a problem. It's hard to get to Cerro Porteño Stadium also when there's huge games. Ralph knows what I'm talking about. Roberto knows what I'm talking about, because I think he went to a Super Classico also there once. So it's not easy, even though it is the best stadium. It's the it already hosted a Sudamericano final not too long ago. It would be weird, right? If you had just the final 2019, now you go back to Paraguay and you have another final in the same stadium. So if you're putting up all this money for four different stadiums, which is something, yeah, totally new, something that we haven't seen before, I do think the other ones have an opportunity. I don't know if Olympia can do much with their stadium, but it's going to depend on which teams end up in the final also. So if you don't have huge teams with big fan base behind them, or you have a team that maybe makes a surprise or something like that and ends up in the final, maybe Libertad Stadium, maybe Olympia Stadium have a chance. If not, I think it's Defensores de Chaco, and no doubt about it. I mean, just fix a couple of things, and Defensores de Chaco is the one that has probably pretty much everything you need for a Sudamericano final. I think that's the stadium that's going to end up winning the big game. And I'm really looking forward to it. Everybody's already thinking about what could happen eventually in November, especially after Rob's announcement saying that he's going to be here for that final.
Yeah, you never know. You can never know what could happen. Maybe it's a case of a Paraguayan team. You know, obviously it all depends on what happens this week. A big week for a lot of these Paraguayan teams, a lot of big weeks, a lot of big games for a lot of these teams. And we'll definitely analyze it all here on Guarani Vision as we close out another great episode. For myself, Roberto Rojas, Fede Perez, and Ralph Hanna, thank you so much for listening in. See you soon.